Final hour of power here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Still to come, Commanders defensive backs coach Jason Simmons going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on what that defensive backs room is looking like, including the health of Monshon Lattimore, year two of Mikey Samuels still, and what he expects from the rookie Trey Amos. That's coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. Before we let you go. Right now, I want to continue to dive into this Terry McLaurin thing. We did it a little bit earlier on in the show. I want to get back to it. I'll be real. And Bennett, you have been with me a lot recently. Do I get to pat myself on the back, or would that make me seem like a narcissistic radio host that's an egotistical maniac? Because I've been all on it. Everyone has been scared to say what I've said about this Terry McLaurin thing. Things aren't good, guys. I know it sucks to have that be the reality. I know a lot of people are in denial about where things currently stand between Terry and the team. But to me, and I said it this morning with the Junks, if this front office is not willing to pay Terry McLaurin market value, and that's a contract offer that starts with a three, then I don't know if I can agree with the decision. I honestly don't. If Adam Peters and company aren't willing to pay Terry $30 million annually, then like if I'm Laramie Tunsil down the line, am I thinking I'm going to get paid? If I'm Luvu down the line, am I thinking are they going to do me the same way? Like that's the frustrating part about where things currently stand when it comes to these negotiations. I feel like Terry McLaurin very clearly, right? Like I really feel like it's tough because I get flustered over it because there's so much running through my mind with this. I don't know if I'm on a side yet because I don't know what's true in terms of the reporting, but what I will continue to reiterate is this. If the Commanders are not willing to offer him a deal that starts with a three, they're completely in the wrong, and they're being negligent too. Because here's the thing. You can play around if you want to, but like I gave you all the numbers a moment ago. Why would you try and do anything to – I don't want to say stunt the growth because, like, that's too strong. But why would you do something that could potentially make life more difficult for Jayden Daniels? Here are the numbers from last year when Jayden Daniels targeted Terry McLaurin. 66% completion percentage, 1,100 yards passing, 9 yards per attempt. 15 of Jayden Daniels' 25 touchdowns went to who? Terry McLaurin. Passer rating of 128.4. That was the second highest duo, only behind Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So they need each other. Jayden needs Terry. I'm not going to slight Jayden by saying like, oh, I don't think he'll be the same quarterback without Terry. Because I think a lot of what Jayden has, he'd do it with anybody, brother. I mean, the boy's bad. Ball placement, accuracy, work ethic, the whole nine. It makes life a hell of a lot more difficult, though. I'm not saying Jayden can't do it. It just makes it a hell of a lot more difficult. The other thing is this, right? When we look at this Commanders offense from a season ago, one area that I thought they struggled with, and if you're a fan out there feeling this way, tap in with me and let me know. It felt like they struggled to consistently create explosive plays last year, right? How many 19 play drives that we see, drives that are eating up 6 minutes and 48 seconds a clock. That's awesome. It's great while it's happening. I don't know how sustainable it is. Right? So that's why, to me, that's why everyone was geeked up about running back this offseason, right? We needed another way to generate explosives. Losing Terry on top of losing De'Ami Brown, where do the explosives come from? I know Debo is going to provide you explosives. I'm not sure if Jalen Lane's ready to provide explosives yet for you in year one. But the list is pretty damn short. Without Terry, I think Washington desperately lacks a consistent big play threat. And that's just not something that a playoff Super Bowl caliber team can afford to have happen. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. He was all with the Sports Junkies earlier this morning. He joined a local fan podcast, our young pal Matthew Heisserman. Super dedicated young man that works his tail off to land big-time guests on his podcast. Here's what Jeremy Fowler had to say about some of the details of where things stand between Terry and the Commanders.
Yeah, I think he would take that deal. That's a good deal for the player. I don't think Washington would do that deal right now. I think that's part of the issue.
Let me interject here real quick, Bennett, while we got a second, because I did not set that up properly. The deal that Jeremy Fowler is alluding to is a three-year, $102 million deal, $34 million annually, and then $70 million guaranteed. Here's Jeremy Fowler on if the Commanders have offered that deal and if Terry would take that deal.
Here, you know, like you're alluding to, the receiver market is above $30 million now, or at least around it. You know, the low end would be what Brandon Ayuk did, which he was right at $30 million last year. Or T. Higgins, I guess, would be on the lower end for, like, really good receivers, maybe not guys in the top five or that Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson class, but somewhere outside of it. You know, T. Higgins is at $28.5 million a year. So certainly Terry McLaurin sees himself above that and probably sees him above some of these players that are getting this big money. So, you know, he just, my understanding is he just wants a deal commensurate with his skill set in the current market as it stands, where part of the frustration is Washington has not been able to get in that range or has not been comfortable with that. As far as I know, they're just looking at more of like a slight increase from where he's at. And this is where you get into difficult conversations about a player in his third contract. You know, the team can try to hold that against him a little bit, where he can say, hey, I'm still in my 20s and I'm at my very best. So I think cooler heads will prevail on this eventually. But right now it's still sticky, and, you know, we're just trying to figure out if he's actually going to be at camp. That's the looming question right now.
So to answer that looming question, he was not there today. He was officially placed on the did not report list. What Fowler said there was interesting, right? He's saying that from what he's hearing, the Commanders are only looking to give Terry McLaurin a slight increase from where his current contract is. He's slated to make, I think it's $23.2 million this year. If I'm the Commanders, if I'm Terry McLaurin, rather, like I said a moment ago, I'm not picking up the phone for a deal that does not start with the number three. And the fact that Adam Peters and company are negotiating like this, if I'm Terry and Buddy Baker, I'm now wondering, is Adam Peters and company even negotiating in good faith at this point? How in the hell do you look me in the face or talk me over the phone and think that I'm going to sign something under $30 million? The hell with Garrett Wilson. The hell with DK Metcalf. I'm better than those guys. Point blank. That's the mentality that Terry's got, and he's damn right for having it. 1-800-636-1067. What I worry about, guys, is that we get to a point where, and I think it's coming, where Terry requests a trade. I do think that is coming. Whether or not the team grants him the trade request is an entirely different conversation. I don't expect them to do so because they don't have any motivation to do so. They have no incentive to do so. They're trying to put the best roster on the field now. They're trying to win now. So, look, like, if you're the Commanders, you got to figure something out here, man. It's point blank not a good look. Honestly, it's not a good look about where things, in terms of where things currently stand between the team and Terry. And one other nugget that I got, and I picked this up because it's like, well, hold on. Does it make a whole lot of sense for these two sides to have not talked in over a month and a half? Hell no, it doesn't. We all know that it doesn't. But, like, are they not talking because of something that we're maybe not privy to? And I'll say this. Buddy Baker is Terry McLaurin's agent at the Exclusive Sports Group. Terry McLaurin is the most high-profile client that Buddy Baker has. His second highest-profile client is Jeremy Chinn. You picking up what I'm putting down? Buddy Baker, agent of Terry McLaurin. McLaurin is the highest-profile athlete Buddy Baker represents. The second highest-profile athlete is Jeremy Chinn. Jeremy Chinn played 94% of the defensive snaps last year, and they let him walk to the Las Vegas Raiders. Food for thought. Informed speculation is all this is. Any chance that the relationship between the organization and the agent soured during the Jeremy Chinn negotiations and is now impacting how these negotiations are going? Honestly, like, I genuinely think like that could be it. It's pure speculation, but like, I can make the case for that being it. Would it be unfortunate? Yes. Do I believe that that's what's happening? Kinda. Not convicted in my belief with that, but like, I'm trying to make sense of it. How can we make sense of this organization, this front office, who has come in here and done everything right? How can you make sense of them not offering Terry a market value contract? 1-800-636-1067. We'll get specific with the question here. Two-parter for you. One, when should the Commanders consider a trade? And then two, if what Fowler is alluding to is true and the Commanders are only looking to give McLaurin a slight increase and they're unwilling to give him a contract offer that starts with a three, is McLaurin then justified in holding out? Does it make you look at Adam Peters and company any differently? 1-800-636-1067. Jonesy is in D.C. wants to chime in. What's up, Jonesy?
Oh, I see. What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother, man? How you doing?
Yeah, the original.
The original.
That's what I call you, original.
What's going on,
brother? Hey, look, man. First of all, to the questions that you posed right there, if they don't pay him what he's looking for or what the at least market value, yeah, his holding out is justified. And what Jeremy Fowler's saying, just a little pay bump? No. You got to pay that dude,
yes,
man. That dude was here for the long haul through bad quarterbacks, subpar quarterbacks. I mean, good Lord, he has pulled through. Now, you know, I know it's a what have you done for me lately league, but this dude was just still putting out, and he's still in good shape, and
yep,
he's still your guy. He knows your offense. Why try to reinvent the wheel now? And if you let Jeremy Chinn walk because of a few sour grapes here and there, come on, man. There's something to that. I mean, you know, you're making us think something totally different. Now, I want to give my man Adam Peters, you know, a good chance and a good pass here and there. But come on, man, the season's looming. And you said, you know, when should we consider trading?
Did you get what I meant by that, Jonesy? Like, how long until the holdout before Washington's got to go, all right, man?
Yeah, we can't let that leak into the season. We're already inside of, you know, training camp. We can't let that leak over inside the season and be concerned with that then. No.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, it's throwing the timing off as far as his playing time and spending time with Jayden. And I mean, you know, we don't need that, man. It's just everything is just going to be out of alignment. And we don't need that. I see. But keep your boots on the ground. Like I told you, I'm going to listen every night that you on. And when you ain't on, my radio's off.
I'm out. I appreciate you, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Andre, Little, Andy, Chris, Christian. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting that the Commanders are only interested in giving McLaurin a slight pay bump while McLaurin and his team are looking for $30 million annually. If Fowler's reporting is true, is Terry McLaurin justified in his holdout? And are you looking at Adam Peters in this front office any differently? That's next here on The Fan. Phone line's loaded at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well if you can't get in. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in charge. About a half hour left to go here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Programming note for tomorrow's show. Make sure you keep it locked here on The Fan. First of all day long for our NFL training camp coverage. B. Mitch and Finley out there daily. I'll be out there daily bringing you the latest from Ashburn as the fellas get ready to try and bounce back from last year's season that honestly ended on a sour note, turning it over five times in the NFC Championship. How do they bounce back from that? The pursuit starts now. And you keep it locked here on 106.7 The Fan. For our training camp coverage, is presented by Paul Henry's Windows Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. It's been a long day, Bennett. And I'll get to the calls here momentarily. If you're there, just stay there. Just give me 30 seconds. I got to vent to you all for a second. My day started at 6:45 a.m. I was out at Commander's Park by 8:30. Practice ended at about 11:15. Immediately after, you're spending about an hour to hour and a half getting content, things of that nature. Then I got to drive my ass an hour and 20 minutes from Ashburn back to Montgomery County. My stuff wouldn't upload today, so I was super annoyed about that. I had to wait till I got home so you all couldn't get your content as quickly as I wanted you to, so I apologize for that. And then I'm here on overtime, 6:30 to 10 tonight. And guess what? I'm riding the Metro home tonight. Probably won't get to Shady Grove Metro till about 11:15 p.m. Probably won't end up getting home till about 11:30, 11:35. Then I got to wake up at 6:45 again. Was there dinner in there at some point? No. Just me, training camp, and vibes. That's it. That's why I'm the youngest in charge, though, baby. They give the hard workload to the young buck that can handle it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll get back to Terry McLaurin here now. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting that the Commanders are only looking to give McLaurin a slight pay increase from where his current contract stands, as he's due to make $23 million this year. Terry's camp looking for a deal that starts with the number 3. If Fowler's reporting is true, is Terry McLaurin, I guess, now justified with his holdout? And then does it make you look at Adam Peters in this front office any differently? 1-800-636-1067. Let's get to Little. Once chime in. What's going on, Little?
Hey, fella, what's going on? Shout out to you, brother. Man on the mic, man.
For sure.
So your thing is Ben or whatever.
My man, Ben.
Hey, look,
yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I look at it, Linnell, I'm going to tell you now, man. You keep taking them 50 stacks. He'd be up in that camp. Ain't no way in full hell. I'm going to take 50 stacks no matter what. Look at what, you know, we got to realize, I'm big fella.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks make the receivers in this league.
Mm. That's an interesting thought. Well, let me correct you real quick. Let me correct you then, Little. Quarterbacks make some receivers because Sam Darnold had Justin Jefferson last year.
Right,
so, you know what I'm saying?
And Sam Darnold looked good during the season till the playoff hit.
Exactly.
But the sad thing about it is that, man, you taking 50 stacks hit, and you should be if you really want this thing to move forward, show up, young fella. I'll be hitting him up on X. Sometimes he hit me back. He hit me back this time around, but show up.
But look, man, this is how I look at it, though, Little. Him not showing up tells me just how far apart they are. He's looking at them saying, to hell with y'all. I'm not showing up unless you all are going to negotiate in good faith, and I don't think that's happening right now.
I think if you show up, and after they get in the concrete deal on this new stadium, man, I think if you show up, man, this man might go to his pockets, man, get this boy his money. I still
Hopefully.
Think he's going to get the top five pay.
Hopefully. I don't know if he'll hit top five, Little, but I know he'll definitely get a number that starts with a 3. I appreciate you as always, man. We got a lot of calls to run through here on the final half hour of the show. My guy, haven't heard from you in a while, man. Andre Manassas wants to chime in. What's going on, Dre?
Hey, I'm doing well. And this is what a GM does. I mean, we've been opining for a GM for like the last 30 years. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the GM is the guy who has some tough decisions and tough calls to make. And that's why he gets paid the big bucks. Having said that, you know, I do think that, you know, everyone talks about how other wide receivers have been signed and they're getting money. And that's the comp you want to comp with other wide receivers get. I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing with Chase Daniels. not Chase. Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. Right.
Yeah, you know, playing on his last year of his contract. And a lot of people don't do that. You know, so maybe some precedent was set for better or for worse. And you know, if Jamar Chase could to play in his last year of his contract, then surely, you know, our boy Terry McLaurin can do it.
So you're thinking McLaurin here is on. Like, the holdout's unwarranted, in your opinion.
I mean, to what end? Because he has to play. He's on the contract, you know. To what end? I mean, he's making a statement. Then don't get me wrong. I mean, I like McLaurin. I want him to see you do well and all that stuff. I want him to be part of the team. But, I mean, this was his first year with double-digit touchdowns. At some point, you got to, you know, I know we all feel bigger than what we are, but at some time we kind of like, you know, look at the man in the mirror. I do want to ask you one last question. Nothing to do with Terry. We've been Terry for the last like 3 weeks. How's that offensive tackle, that young offensive O-lineman doing? How's he looking out there, man?
Man, I said it earlier in the show, man. I think I'm maybe willing to go out, Andre, and say that the offensive line may be the strongest position group on this team. I think they've got depth. I like the five starters. Cosme potentially going to be back a lot earlier than expected. Josh Connerly in particular, man. So I say this, and I played, you know, high school offensive line, college offensive line. Like, to me, when you look at an offensive lineman at this stage when there's no pads on, are his hands and feet aligned? Is he coordinated? Does he look sharp? I think he does. He's a super mature dude. Seeing him in the spring working with, you know, offensive line coach Bobby Johnson one-on-one and watching him, you know, take what he learned in the classroom onto the practice field, I think is super impressive. He is actually not running with the first team right now, Andre. I think it goes back to, you know, Dan Quinn's mantra of competition everywhere all the time. I think he eventually earns that starting right tackle spot. But if he doesn't, you know, don't be surprised if you see a situation like last year with Coleman and Corn Lucas, where Wiley and Connerly are kind of, you know, repping it out, you know, each drive at a time. Appreciate
you. Is that a bad thing he's not starting?
Is it a bad thing? No, I don't think it is at all. I think it speaks to Andrew Wiley, who, you know, quietly had a much better season last year than he had the first 2 years here in D.C. So appreciate you as always, Andre. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. A lot more to get to. Jax, Andy, Steven, Ralph, Antonio, Christopher. We'll get to you all on the other side of the break. Plus, we'll let you hear from Lewis Riddick of ESPN, who is actually going to join the show tomorrow. He had some hot takes about what Terry is dealing with the Commanders. That's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Right now, I want to let you hear from Lewis Riddick of ESPN. Lewis Riddick going to join us here on Overtime tomorrow night, so make sure you keep it locked for that conversation. Always good to catch up with my guy Lewis Riddick. He is someone, though, that's actually been pretty vocal when it comes to his opinion on where things stand between Terry McLaurin and the Commanders. Here is Lewis Riddick from earlier this morning on First Take, giving his thoughts on where things stand between McLaurin and Washington.
How concerned are you about McLaurin's absence from camp?
I know we've differed on this, you know, in talking about this earlier today, but I'll tell you this. I'm a 10 out of 10 concerned, because every day matters, regardless of the fact that it's, look, I know it's late July. Terry is a great pro. He's played a lot of football. They don't play football until September. I know that's always the very, you know, the very common response to this kind of thing. And then, you know, some are going to say, and I know I'm already jumping ahead of Kimberly, so I'm going to get out ahead of some of her arguments right now. And look, Terry wants to be there. He's a guy who is... you know, who's going to be on the wrong side of 30, so to speak. There's a lot of reasons as to why maybe Washington is taking their time. But look, if you want to guard against making sure that the guy who basically has resurrected your franchise and made this city and this region, the DMV, as excited as it has been in the past 30 years, and that being Jaden Daniels, if you want to make sure that you safeguard that trajectory that he is on and keep it going the way it's going, then you need to make sure that every day that he can spend with Terry McLaurin, he spends with Terry McLaurin in a football setting in your building. And you shouldn't be haggling over, well, you know what? How much longer will Terry play at this level? How much? Nickel and dime him to the point where the guy is not in camp and he's not practicing. This is another one of those things that should be done. And look, they have done everything right. Every move they've made has been an absolute, like, hit out of the park. And I believe this team will be right there in contention. And I'm not one of those teams, rather one of those people who believes that there's an automatic sophomore slump because people get film on you and people understand what you're doing. I don't believe in that crap. I don't. And I damn sure don't believe it with Jaden Daniels. But if you keep messing around with the guy who is his dude and you don't allow them to continue to grow, you're playing with fire. Just get him signed.
Let me ask you.
That is Lewis Riddick coming off the top rope. Very passionate response about where things stand between McLaurin and the Commanders. I can't say I disagree too much with what Riddick had to say, but I can't wait to talk to him tomorrow. It's basically what I would have to say. Lewis is hitting it on the head, though, man. I just don't know. This is what's frustrating me the whole time. I don't know the motivation of this front office to play hardball right now with a guy like Terry McLaurin, man. It's tough, man. It's tough. 1-800-636-1067. My guy, Jax in Calvert County. What's going on, Jax?
Hey, Nanelle. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you as always, brother. Hope everything's well with you.
Yeah. I got two things,
yeah,
and it touches a little bit on what you just played for Riddick. Like, I'm hoping we're not making a mistake that other franchises have made with dual threat quarterbacks that they thought that, hey, we could just plug in just another guy and our quarterback won't compensate for that. I hope we're not making that mistake. Like, I'm not comparing these quarterbacks to Jaden, but like Michael Vick, Randall Cunningham, et cetera. I hope we're not making that mistake. And I also think the management are not just negotiating with Terry. They're negotiating against these future contracts.
I totally agree.
And possible the flexibility with the franchise tag. I hope that, that's what I'm really concerned about. What you think about that?
I think you're 100% spot on with it. And I was saying it earlier, like Tunsil's going to be due for a deal soon. Frankie Louvu is going to be up for a deal soon. Dorrance Armstrong is going to be up for a deal soon. So what I think they're doing, because they signed guys to a bunch of three-year deals. Here's the one thing that hadn't been talked about. You'll hear this only tonight on Overtime. I promise you. No one else is thinking this way. Think about next year. Next year will be the final year of Dorrance Armstrong, Louvu. I got to go look because there was only one four-year deal, I think, given out. But they don't want to set a precedent of paying guys before their contract expires. So that's another reason I think they're playing hardball with McLaurin as well. Because if you extend McLaurin a year early, you got to extend everybody a year early, I think. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. But the difference between Terry and those other guys, he's a day one before they were.
Yeah, Jax, I get that. But
that's the problem.
But they can't show favoritism, though. And I appreciate the call as always, Jax. I had to let you go. We got a couple more to get to. Like, they can't show favoritism. That's my whole thing. So I get where they're coming from. I get both sides. It's just frustrating because I want to see the offense at full strength. Because, boy, the way they look right now, woo! This is without Terry. I think they look damn good. Imagine when you get 17 back into the fold. Just how dangerous this group could be. Let's go to Steven in Tacoma Park. Wants to chime in. What's going on?
Dude, Terry is worth $32 million a year. That is $96 million. Bring his AVV up from 23 this year. That's plus 9. That's 105. Give him $70 million guaranteed. And then at the end of the three-year extension, that's when Jaden's going to come up, when money is going to get tight.
Yeah.
You overpay him because everything that he's been through, he has been a consummate professional. He is my favorite Washington football player since Chris Cooley. Like, nobody else has just put their head down and just played the game. And that is so rare in this town because of the dysfunction that has just been going on. So, yes, you should reward him even though you don't want to, but you have to acknowledge that. Yeah. And that's the dichotomy. You need to make sure he feels welcome. I wouldn't buy another jersey except for him.
Those are strong
even
thoughts.
With Jaden,
yeah,
even with Jaden moving forward. And I will buy a Jaden, but Terry is the only person that has integrity and has had integrity through this entire ordeal.
For sure. I appreciate your call as always, man. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, Commanders defensive backs coach Jason Simmons joins us next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles Linnell Willingham riding with you for one final segment. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find our pal Jason Simmons, the defensive backs coach for the Washington Commanders. We touched on a lot of things earlier this afternoon out of practice, including what's next for Marshawn Lattimore in year number two with the Burgundy and Gold.
Linnell Willingham here with defensive backs coach Jason Simmons after training camp practice number one. Coach Simmons, obviously you were saying it before we hopped on. Vibes are sky high for you, though, personally, coming back out here second year with this team, coaching under Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. What has it been like for you?
Oh, man, it's been great. You know, the thing about DQ is it's all about culture, and it starts from the top with him and AP. We have good ownership. We got good leadership, and I think that just feeds down to the players, man. Everybody's excited to be here. It's a kids' game again. We enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. And one big, you know, talking point going back to the spring was, you know, how Marshawn Lattimore gets acclimated with you guys going through a full offseason for the first time. Rewind for me real quick. Take me back to last year and what was it like trying to get him up to speed on really short notice when you think about the lack of practice reps because he's on the trainer table?
Man, I tell you what, it's so tough for me to rewind right now because my mind is just so set on just where we are right now. Yeah. The one thing I can tell you, where we sit right now, coming into training camp 2025, he's ready to go. He's excited.
He looks
excited to go compete. You can see him bouncing around, talking to the guys. Like, he is a commander. He's fully bought in, and we're excited to see him go out there and play.
You guys brought in a guy with some Super Bowl hardware in Jonathan Jones. When you think about the inside-outside versatility that he brings, how can a guy like Mikey be a sponge to him, and then what has Jonathan brought himself?
Man, that's a great question, and I tell you that because when you look at it, particularly like a guy like Mikey, he can say, like, same body type. You know, he can see a guy who's had a lot of production in the National Football League and then a true professional.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that Jonathan brings to the room is he is a veteran. And he's also a guy that understands leadership. And when I say that, he knows when to go ahead and interject. He knows he wants the guys to see him accepting coaching. So it's good for them to really watch him and see how he kind of navigates the room.
Yeah, for sure. Another new face you guys brought in was Will Harris from New Orleans. And I know when you guys bring guys on this defense, there's a certain mentality that they have to have. I describe Will Harris as a crash out, man. Somebody that's going to come lay it down every time in the box. He's versatile, covering in the slot as well. What does he bring to the table for you all, and how excited were you when you got the text that, hey, we got Will?
First, I got to tell you, the question's on point. Because when you said Will, first thing on my mind was big, fast, physical.
Crash out, yep.
Like, it is what it is. It's the mentality.
Yeah.
When you hear Joe talk about the way we live.
Yeah.
Like, it's the epitome of the way we want to live.
Yeah.
Like, our play style and what it looks like, what it is. Like, that's what he brings every day. So we're excited, man, to have a guy like that. And then, you know, there is a bond between him and Marshawn. They played together as well in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that you have that so they can bring each other along. Guys can lean on each other as well, be able to talk. And then now that it helps him even come into that leadership role and even more so.
Speaking of leaders, a young leader that's emerging on this defense is Quan Martin. For him to play through the injuries he played through last year says a lot about his toughness. What have you seen from him this spring, though, in terms of digesting the defense in year number two, being able to take a step further from a communication standpoint?
He's the quarterback of the defense, period.
This is a question. I'm not to cut you off. So I was curious last year. Bobby played damn near 98% of the snaps. If Bobby goes down, who wears the green dot?
Well, I mean, that's up to Coach Witt.
Okay,
yeah, so I can't speak on that.
Okay.
But when I say the quarterback of the defense, there's a certain call command that we're looking for.
Yeah.
We understand that Bobby Wagner, in terms of what he does for the front and also the second level.
Yeah.
But when you have a guy like Quan, he can now see the entire picture.
Yeah.
That allows him to make sure that we're good on the back end. Because we all know if you make a mistake on the back end, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that makes sure that we're all good. Just to see him grow and to hear his voice and us to allow him to
do it. You know what I mean? It's just kind of fun to see because he's earned the right to be a leader on his team.
Right. One guy that got, you know, highlighted by the D.C. Joe Witt during the spring was Jeremy Reeves, a guy that's been around here for a while, fan favorite, has the smarts and the toughness to play on the defense. What does he bring to the table, and how excited are you guys to have him around teaching too?
He's a pro. That's what he is. And I know that seemed like a short answer. That's exactly what he is. He's a coach on the football field. He is a guy, when he gets done playing in 6 or 7 years, he is going to be a coach. I mean, that's just who he is. He has that type of mentality, the way he approaches the game. We know that the way he helps his team primarily is on special teams. This guy studies as much as any defensive player and understands. And a lot of times that's for his sake, but it's also to be able to help the players around him. So, I mean, he's a commander.
Yeah. I've gotten to talk to him a couple of times off the field, off the record, but Trey Amos is just the energizer bunny in terms of lighting up a room, tremendous smile, tremendous personality. How excited are you to, like, get your hands on a moldable piece of clay like that, man? And when he has success in this league, you'll be, you know, known as the first guy to touch him.
Man, I just tell you, you know, I'm excited to work with him.
Yeah.
We all see the talent. The talent is there. So it's my job, it's Will Gay's job, it's Tommy Donatel's job. To make sure when you have a guy like that with that much talent, to make sure that he has the confidence to go ahead and go out there and play. To make sure we give him just the right amount of information to allow him to go ahead and let his talent play and then bring him along at the right pace. But he will be a good pro at some point.
Another youngin' that I think is continuing to climb the ladder, too, that's got a bunch of athleticism is Tyler Owens. I see you guys moving him all around the secondary. I've seen him in the post. I've seen him in the slot. What type of role do you think he'll be able to carve out? And then what's the biggest jump you've seen from him from year one to year two?
Well, in terms of a role, all we talk about right now is competition. That's the general theme of the entire secondary is competition. I think anybody that comes out to practice will see, like, we're moving guys around and we're allowing guys to compete. It can't just be, you know, words. Like, you'll see it. He'll have every opportunity to carve out his own role, you know, whether that be at any one of the positions in the secondary. The beauty of it for him, he can compete at multiple positions. So, once again, you have a guy that's that big, that fast, that physical. You know, we know he's an excellent, elite special teams player. Now we're going to see how that now comes to the defensive side of the ball.
I'll let you go on this, Coach. I appreciate you giving me some time, man. Mikey kicking back to the inside. What type of challenges does that provide for him? And how have you guys kind of coached and talked him through that?
The thing about that is Mikey is – we know what he does. Mikey touches the ball. We're talking about a guy that touched the ball over 20 times.
Yeah.
You know, there are not many players that we could say did that the entire NFL.
Sure.
We're talking 18 PBUs and 4 interceptions. He is a guy that's extremely productive. But he's a guy as well, though. He is playing inside and outside.
Okay.
So we're not going to limit anything that he can do. We're going to make sure that he helps the football team as much as he can and allow him to do that. So we're not going to minimize his role. You know, he will play some more inside, but he also will compete outside.
Okay. Awesome. Appreciate you, Coach.
You got it, bro.
Thank you.
Great question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's going to do it here for this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. Make sure you follow me this time of year, man. I'm out there, boots on the ground, each and every day, bringing you the latest from Commanders training camp tomorrow. As we're back with you, 6:30 to 10 right here on The Fan, we'll be joined by ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. We'll get his thoughts on where things stand with the Burgundy and Gold. The Infinity Sports Network comes your way next.